It's time for America's Promise with Sheldon Emery of the Lord's Covenant Church of Phoenix, Arizona. Sit down with your Bible and listen as Pastor Emery preaches the Word of God, the good news of Christ's kingdom, and Bible truths about the United States of America as foretold in prophecy. This is God's promise to America, that the power and works of God lead America to read, believe, and obey Christ's holy command. During this broadcast, we'll be offering literature which you may request for your own personal study. America's Promise is sponsored by the Lord's Covenant Church of Phoenix, Arizona, and interested friends across this great nation of ours. Now, Pastor Sheldon Emery.
Thank you. Last week I read just a few verses in the book of Judges where God's Word tells us that it is God Himself who brings the Israel people into captivity under their enemies when they transgress His laws. This divine principle is almost unknown in American churches today. So much of the preaching is personal, and every bad thing that happens to individuals is credited to the devil, that Christians do not understand God's role in their lives and in the life of their nation. This principle that God places Israel under bondage is spelled out scores of times in the Holy Scripture. In Isaiah 42, the prophet asked this question, in verse 24, who gave Jacob for a spoil and Israel to the robbers? Here is the answer. Did not the Lord, he against whom we have sinned? Isaiah knew from God's own law that it was God's doings and not really the enemy's at all. God speaks of himself through this same prophet in chapter 45 and verse 7. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. In Isaiah 54 and verse 16, God says, behold, I have created the smith that bloweth the coals in the fire, and that bringeth forth an instrument for his work, and I have created the waster to destroy. Proverbs 16, verse 4, the Lord hath made all things for himself, yea, even the wicked for the day of evil. Modern church theology would have you believe that all men can be saved by preaching, that the only reason we have unsaved people in the world is that we have not preached the gospel to them. But God's Word tells us that God Himself has created evil and wicked people upon the earth to carry out His purposes, and His purposes do not include the salvation of their souls. Now, I realize that this is strange doctrine, but it was understood by the writers of the New Testament, and if we understand it today, we would know how foolish it is for Christian people or nations to make treaties with and cooperate with and try to be brothers to wicked and evil men or nations. Jude warns the Christians to earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. That is in the third verse of Jude, and then he gives the reason in the next verse why Christians must literally fight for Christianity. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you mean that these people who deny God and our Lord Jesus Christ were actually ordained of God for that condemnation? Well, you read it yourself and you can come to no other conclusion. That is in Jude verses 3 and 4, that little one chapter letter just before the book of Revelation. Peter writes of wicked men in 2 Peter chapter 2 and says, among other things, but these, as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption. Natural brute beasts, made or created, to be taken and destroyed, not to be preached to and converted, but rather to utterly perish. Peter must be speaking of the same wicked ones we read about in Proverbs and Isaiah, the ones created by God for such purposes. They are not our brothers, they are not destined for salvation, but they are created by God to be used as instruments against God's people when God's chosen people turn away and refuse to obey Him. They are the wasters God has created to destroy. They are the wicked for the day of evil. They serve God's purposes in the same manner that Pharaoh did. God told Moses to go to Pharaoh and tell him to let God's people go. We read this in Exodus 4 and verse 21. And the Lord said unto Moses, When thou goest to return unto Egypt, see that thou do all these wonders before Pharaoh, which I have put in thine hand, but I will harden his heart, that he shall not let the people go. In chapter 10, God says to Moses, I have hardened Pharaoh's heart, and the heart of his servants, that I might show these my signs before him, and that thou mayest tell in the ears of thy son, and of thy son's son, what things I have wrought in Egypt, and my signs which I have done among them, that ye may know how that I am the Lord. So God's purpose in Pharaoh was to make Pharaoh anti-God, that God might be glorified before the children of Israel, and make Israel know that he was God. Pharaoh was one of the wicked created for the day of evil. Now the modern evangelist would have gone to the Egyptian White House and chummed around with President Pharaoh, perhaps even played some golf with him or gone swimming with him. Like America's best-known evangelist today, he might even tell the people what a religious man Pharaoh is. But Moses knew God had no intention of converting the president of Egypt. I wonder if perhaps America's present rulers, with their continuing increase in our bondage of taxation and debt, and their refusal to admit that God has any power or purpose in our nation, are not the modern pharaohs. Their hearts are being hardened, that God might be glorified in our deliverance. We should understand that God is sovereign, that God's purposes are being worked out, and they may not be worked out at all like the modern church hopes they will be. In Isaiah 10, we have an entire prophecy about the end of the age world dictatorship. In verse 24, we read that this Antichrist system, here called the Assyrian, shall, quote, lift up his staff against thee after the manner of Egypt. What was the manner of Egypt? Well, economic and political bondage. The Israelites were brought into poverty and hard labor. Where are America and our brethren nations of Europe headed, but into a lowering standard of living, more debt, more taxes, more work needed to buy the necessities of life, and our leaders tell us we will have to tighten our belts, we shall have to learn to live with less, that we just can't expect to continue our affluent society, and on, conditioning our people toward poverty. In verse 26 of that same chapter, God tells us that our deliverance will also be, quote, after the manner of Egypt. The blindness and lack of understanding on the part of American Christians today as to what is going on in our nation is because they have no understanding of how God works his works of mercy and deliverance upon his people Israel. First of all, most of them do not even know we are the Israel people. Secondly, they do not know it is God who allows our tribulation and captivity because of our own sin. And thirdly, they do not know that God actually created wicked and reprobate people to rule over us when we are in sin. Who gave Jacob for a spoil and Israel to the robbers? Christians need to know that answer. Speaking of bondage in Egypt and our American Israel being given to the robbers brings me to our March free packet of literature, and my pamphlet, Billions for the Bankers, brings war, taxes, and debts to the people. If you have never read this, or any similar article on the unpayable debts of our nation and of our people, you should sit down right now and write me at America's Promise, Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona, 85010. I'll repeat that in a few minutes. And say, Pastor Emery, send me that article on bankers and debt. Just ask for the free March packet. Be sure and specify March because we change these packets each month, and our mailroom will know which packet you desire. In America, as in ancient Egypt, we have taskmasters going around in their chariots, carrying whips to drive our people to work harder. In America, the taskmasters are hidden under such nice-sounding names as the Internal Revenue Service, the Federal Reserve Board, the Treasury Department, bank loans, debt, state bonds, mortgages, interest, the Old Age and Survivors Insurance or Social Security, the Sales Tax Department, Property Tax Assessor, and so on. Each one, slowly but surely, increases the amounts taken from the American worker each year, in effect requiring the worker to produce more bricks in order to maintain his standard of living. As long as you beg, borrow, or steal enough to pay the interest and taxes, no one bothers you. But woe unto him who is late with that interest or tax. Then the collector does get in his chariot, not a two-wheeled one drawn by two horses, but a four-wheeled one driven by 200-horse gasoline motors, complete with four-wheel suspension and air conditioning, and brings his whip, the so-called legal summons, for you to pay up, or they will confiscate your car, your boat, your bank account, your house, or something. Yes, the taskmaster, the chariot, and the whip are all here. We don't recognize them because they don't look like they did in ancient Egypt, and they seem so nice. And besides, they are just doing their job, aren't they? Well, Pharaoh's taskmasters were just doing their job, too. Billions for the bankers brings war, taxes, and debts to the people. While the net worth of the American producing workers and farmers was decreasing, the net worth of the banks has gone up $900 billion since 1969. They produce not one loaf of bread, not one board to build a home, shed not one drop of sweat in building this great nation, and yet in less than 7 years, they accrued to themselves over $900 billion of American property and other forms of wealth. What magic do bankers use to make so much money while those who do the actual work have less and less to show for their endeavors? Well, if you don't understand it, you had better write to me and ask for Billions for the Bankers Brings War, Taxes, and Debts to the People. Yes, our people die in war. They work 5 months out of every year to pay their taxes. They are burdened with ever-increasing debt and interest, while the bankers become billionaires. Who gave Jacob for a spoil, and Israel to the robbers? Most Americans do not even know we have been given into the hands of the robbers. If you read my pamphlet, you will find out why Senator Louis McFadden, the former chairman of the United States Senate Banking and Currency Committee, said, quote, "The Federal Reserve banks are one of the most corrupt institutions the world has ever seen," end of quote. You will see why President James Garfield said, "Whoever controls the volume of money in any country is absolute master of all industry and commerce." You will see why Abraham Lincoln wrote, "The money power preys upon the nation in times of peace and conspires against it in times of adversity. It is more despotic than monarchy, more insolent than autocracy, more selfish than bureaucracy. It denounces as public enemies all who question its methods or throw light upon its crimes." You will see why Thomas Jefferson, the major author of our Declaration of Independence 200 years ago, said, quote, "I believe that banking institutions are more dangerous to our liberties than standing armies." The banker and the banking institutions today in America are clothed with the white robes of service and respectability. No voice is raised among the clergy or among the politicians against the usurious banking industry. And yet Thomas Jefferson, that great proponent of liberty and freedom, warned our great-great-great-great-grandfathers that banking institutions were more dangerous to their liberties than the armies of Great Britain. What did Thomas Jefferson know about banking that you do not know? Did Thomas Jefferson know that through their money control, they would come into ownership of our whole nation if we allowed them to continue? Read My Billions for the Bankers brings war, taxes, and debts to the people, and you will know why Thomas Jefferson issued such a warning to the American people 200 years ago. God Almighty knows money lent upon usury eventually destroys liberty and nations. God had forbade interest upon money for good reason. Write to me for the free March packet, and I'll send you that article on money. My address is America's Promise, Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona, 85010. You'll also receive my article, Swine's Flesh as Food, Some Wrong Interpretations Corrected. I am including that this month because of the recent outbreak of flu in America, a flu virus possibly spread by hogs or hog meat. In this article, we see again the wisdom and grace of God in commanding us not to even touch the swine, because swine carry diseases. In our foolishness, we have accepted the traditions of men that somehow Jesus Christ died to cleanse the swine. But like the wicked that God created for the day of destruction, God created the swine unclean, and Christ's death on the cross had no effect on it. Christ's blood is for the cleansing of his people from sin, not for the cleansing of the putrid and wormy flesh of hogs. God told Israel in both Leviticus 11 and Deuteronomy 14, "And the swine, because it divideth the hoof, yet cheweth not the cud, it is unclean unto you. Ye shall not eat of their flesh, nor touch their dead carcass." We'll send along a few other things for your reading, things which are pertinent to the Bible and modern America. All of these are for your instruction in what God's Word actually teaches, rather than the traditions we have been taught in both press and pulpit. To continue with this principle, that it is God Himself who brings captivity upon His people when they sin against Him, turn with me again to the book of Judges. Last week we read a few references in the second and third chapter about Israel turning away from God after the death of Joshua, and God then acting against Israel and in favor of Israel's enemies. After being delivered when they cried unto the king of Mesopotamia, chapter 3, verses 7 through 11, we read on in verse 12, "And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord strengthened Eglon, the king of Moab, against Israel, because they had done evil in the sight of the Lord." Just imagine, God Almighty causes a heathen king and a nation, enemies of Israel, to be strengthened. God made Moab strong, not because the Moabites were a righteous people, but because Israel, God's people, were in sin. Verse 13, "And he gathered unto him the children of Ammon and Amalek, and went and smote Israel, and possessed the city of the palm trees. So the children of Israel served Eglon, king of Moab, 18 years. How did they conquer Israel? Well, God strengthened them, these heathen and pagan people. Israel was again delivered, but again they sinned. Judges 4, verse 1, "And the children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord when Ehud was dead, and the Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan." Later, when Israel repented, God delivered them again. The book of Judges covers about 400 years of ancient Israel history, and they went into captivity and bondage time after time to heathen people because Israel sinned. Let's read the first part of chapter 6. This is the beginning of their captivity, from which they were later delivered by Gideon, and I want to make an application of this to America. And you read with me, and think with me as we read the first verses. Judges 6, starting in verse 1. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel, and because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them the dens which are in the mountains and caves and strongholds. This captivity was so cruel that apparently some of the Israelites fled into the hills to escape the government soldiers and police. Verse 3. And so it was when Israel had sown that the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites, and the children of the east, even they came up against them, and they encamped against them, and destroyed the increase of the earth till thou come unto Gaza, and left no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep, nor ox, nor ass. These heathen enemies were allowed by God to destroy the crops and production of Israel in Israel's own land. In America today, we have such things as the Environmental Protection Agency and OSHA and all sorts, scores and hundreds of so-called government regulatory bureaucracies. They tell us they are operating for our good, but the result of their regulations and edicts is to reduce our productivity and eat up our wealth. The EPA has destroyed thousands of small businesses and put hundreds of thousands of Americans out of work by their edicts. They issue orders to factories, to electrical generating plants, to auto manufacturers and farmers. The air and the water are not made cleaner, but billions of dollars and millions of man hours are spent producing nothing. Instead, they consume labor and materials. At the same time, alien immigrants are flooding into America from Eastern Europe, South America, Mexico, and Asia. The government admits there are possibly 6 to 14 million here illegally, and God only knows how many millions of these people of alien races have come here as supposedly legal immigrants. Verse 5. For they came up with their cattle and their tents, and they came as grasshoppers for multitude. You can't count grasshoppers. Our immigration service has admitted they have almost no real way of counting the aliens who cross our borders and settle in our land. They came as grasshoppers for multitude, for both they and their camels were without number, and they entered into the land to destroy it. Some years ago, a personal friend of President John Kennedy began an air passenger operation from Puerto Rico directly to New York City and to Washington, D.C. He would fly Puerto Ricans to either city, where they would then be loaded onto buses and taken directly to the city welfare offices. They were signed up for welfare and at the same time were registered to vote. He brought unknown tens and tens of thousands of them into the United States. There was absolutely no provision made for their employment, only for voting and welfare, for consumption of the goods and services produced by the Native American farmers and workers. Verse 6, And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. Israel, greatly impoverished because of the aliens in their land. Who was at fault here? In ancient Israel, was the culprit the Midianites and the Amalekites and the children of the east? No, the fault lay with the children of Israel. They had sinned against God. It was God who was allowing the aliens to invade and destroy the land of Israel. Who is at fault in modern America? Is it the Mexicans and the Asiatics and the Puerto Ricans and the people from Russia and Eastern Europe? No, the fault lies with God's Saxon Israelites in America. It is we who have sinned. It is we who have refused to obey God's laws. God never gave his laws to the Asiatics, to the Mexicans, or the Negro. They are not under a covenant which requires they obey or be punished. In fact, millions of them live in America with absolutely no knowledge or understanding of our God and His Word. And yet they live better than they ever did in their own land. God seems to be blessing them. But is God really blessing them, or is God using them as He did the Midianites and the Amalekites to eat up the substance of this land and impoverish God's American Israel until we are in trouble and distress and do as ancient Israel did in the last part of verse 6, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord? And what was God's answer? In verse 8 we read, God sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel. And then the prophet reminded them of what God had done in Egypt, how He had brought them out of bondage, and had told them to obey Him, but, in the last part of verse 10, ye have not obeyed my voice. That is what America needs to know today. Actually, most of our people seem not to even know that God is dealing with us, and so they have not begun to cry unto God. I wonder how long it will be. This is Pastor Sheldon Emery. To better understand America's bondage and our economic and political captivity, write to me and ask for our free March packet of literature. I will send you my pamphlet, Billions for the Bankers Brings War, Taxes and Debts to the People, which will show you how far the Midianites and the Amalekites and the children of the East have gone in their economic conquest of this nation. I'll also send you that more personal tract, Swine's Flesh as Food, Some Wrong Interpretations Corrected. The first tract will show you our economic bondage. The second, hopefully, will lead many of you to quit eating the filthy hog and give you better health. God's ways are ways of righteousness and mercy, and you will be blessed by following them, and Christ will be honored. The announcer will give my address again in just a few seconds, so until next week when I return, God willing, this is Pastor Emery saying goodbye. God bless you, read your Bibles, and pray for Christian America.
You have been listening to America's Promise. If you would like Pastor Emery to continue broadcasting on this station, please write to him at America's Promise, Post Office Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona. America must hear God's Word preached in this hour of trial. When you write, please ask for the literature you would like. You will also receive a list of other literature available, a catalog of several hundred Bible sermons and radio broadcasts on tape, and the current log of radio stations where you or friends may hear America's Promise. Pastor Emery's address again, America's Promise, Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona, 85010. That's America's Promise, Post Office Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona, 85010. Be with Pastor Emery next week at this same time. Tell your friends of the broadcast, and thank you for listening.